Hi all, let's kick things off with a stat that you've likely not heard before. A recent study found that 73% of executives believe that poor alignment between marketing and revenue operations can negatively impact growth. By effectively utilizing keyword research to validate topic selection and tying traffic to revenue, businesses can create more targeted content and achieve measurable results. My guest Rob is here today to share his insights on these strategies and how they can help drive business success. Rob, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Chelsea. Really excited to be here. I was saying before we got on, I think I spoke with Anatoly. It had to have been 12, 18 months ago, somewhere around there. So it's great to be back, circling back around to everybody.
Yeah, we're excited to have you back, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to interview you this time around. So to start, Rob, do you mind just sharing a little bit about your professional background and what led you to co-found Flying V Group?
Yeah, of course. I graduated local university here in Southern California in 2011 and kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. Knew I had entrepreneurial spirit or had done projects or even through classes, right? Projects where we were creating our own businesses and test cases. Really enjoyed that work, but never could put my finger on what I wanted to start. So kind of bounced around. My emphasis was in marketing, so a few different marketing positions early on, and then was actually working in financial consulting on the B2B side when I had a mentor of mine reach out to me asking for marketing as well as even some IT support for his business. Ran into some issues with malware, spyware, right? Emails were down, couldn't even get his website back up and running, and everything was blacklisted and put his business at a halt. And so I said, "Why are you calling me?" He said, "Well, the youngest guy I know that I think knows something about this, right?" And I laughed at that. I still do, obviously. But yeah, that's when I kind of started to dive into websites, right? The IT component, DNS side, email marketing. And then when we founded Flying V Group, my brother was working in consulting. Brennan was working his own little agency as well already. And we said, "Hey, let's combine forces and really try to tie out all of these different services for our clients." And it has evolved a lot over the years, right? But it's led us to a point where we're really looking to pull together finance, marketing, the whole nine yards to really understand, okay, what's happening with the business. In terms of the marketing dials that we turn, how does that relate to the P&L on the financial side? So, yeah, fast forward to now, we're still helping that same type clientele, right? So, legal, accounting, finance, we started in that professional services space. That's where Flying V Group kind of was like, "Hey, there might be something here and a need." And it was, "Hey, we're build a website." And then that led to, "Well, we need to get traffic to the website. We need to justify the investment and what the traffic is worth, paid media." And now we're really providing a full service, full scale, full suite of services to our clients.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of times marketing teams have trouble, proving ROI and proving revenue. So it sounds like you're marrying together two, very important things that can help justify marketing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, our clients, right? And I think anyone involved in marketing says, "Hey, if you can justify to me that by investing in marketing, I'm getting X return, I'll put as many dollars into marketing as I possibly can," because obviously that's directly driving growth. And so what we've seen over time, and we started in 2015, 2016 was really when we formalized Brennan, Tyler, and myself, has just been that gap. But then trying to figure out, in the middle of, okay, we started with this campaign, we're trying to get this result. There's so many different routes that a buyer can take, right? Especially with online different channels and whatnot. So we started to say, okay, well, let's look backwards, actually. Let's just go directly to that P&L. And if we're seeing movement based on whatever the floated spend might be on the marketing side, where is that coming from, right? And then starting to fill the gaps from there. And it might not always be just revenue line items or profit line items. I mean, it could be something as simple as, hey, how many calls did we have this month, right? How many meetings did we schedule? Those types of things. And then what is that maybe pipeline value worth? And that's going to help you obviously forecast and model out the business moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. I guess just to kind of piggyback off that last thought, you know, revenue operations has become kind of like a buzzword in recent years. How do you see the integration of, you know, RevOps or revenue operations transforming the way businesses approach their marketing and sales strategies?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely critical, I'd say, right? And yeah, you've seen the formation of what is a critical element and component of your business, whether you realize it or not, right? And so there are a lot of businesses that we have been working in, and these are businesses that go even further and further back in terms of generational businesses. A lot of, I'd say, the dirty work. So like we do a lot of work in waste and recycling, right? So a lot of family businesses, they've been passed down through generations. They've done certain things a certain way for so long, but now all of a sudden there's this digital influx and it's like, we have all of this potential revenue, right? But we have no way to actually go capture it and then let alone capture it, figure out again where it came from. So that's where obviously you're seeing even more importantly, and I mean, people were talking about this 5-10 years ago, is CRMs, right? Is tying out that data. But what's happened is everybody needs a CRM, in my opinion, in some capacity now, right? It's hard to operate a business no matter what size. $1 million, $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion. I'd argue there's the need for this tracking, this information, right? Because there's ways to monetize it and multiply the value of the information that you're collecting.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important to be able to, you know, prove your value. That's ultimately at the end of the day, what's going to keep your job. So CRMs are very essential.
That's right.
So thinking of website traffic, so tying website traffic to revenue can kind of be one of the crucial KPIs for demonstrating marketing ROI. Mm-hmm. What strategies do you recommend for connecting these dots and working backward from revenue goals to inform marketing efforts?
Yeah, great question. And I come from a background that, again, going back to learning how websites were built, understanding how they work, the different dials that you can pull, the information that you can put in, that really led me down a technical SEO path. And so understanding how I can make sure my website is as available as possible, right? Like I had no money for advertising, paid media, any of that. But what I did have early on was a lot of time and ideas, and then putting out what we were learning along the way as we were communicating with our clients, right? So case studies. And so we started to publish just, hey, here's what we're doing, right? Here's how we're doing it, why we're doing it. I'm sure there are many other people that are out there that are running into the same challenges. And so we really focused building our business. It's hard to see when you look at Flying V Group, even though we are expanding rapidly now, but we were really building underneath the surface with content on our website that, circling back to your original question, we could identify that X amount of leads came from this specific URL that we generated on the website. And then we're able to tie that URL and give it some sort of ROI multiplier based on whatever it might be, right? If it's a range in terms of the value, if it's prioritization of the lead, or if it's, hey, this deal ended up being worth $120,000 ARR, and we closed it, and now it's actually grown into $180,000 ARR, I'm able to go back to that post and say, here's who did it. Here's where it came from, right? But we can tie that out immediately if we have it synced up and tracked right out of the gate. And that's really what we're doing in that regard.
So we're talking about, you know, the importance of, you know, analyzing, you know, consumer behavior and tying it to marketing strategies. So obviously we know data analytics plays such a crucial role in refining marketing strategies and seeing what's working and what's not. What key metrics do you think businesses should monitor to be able to assess the effectiveness of their SEO and content efforts?
Yeah, great question. So Again, I think it depends on where you're at from a complexity standpoint, right? Like that's where I think a lot of times we're bringing the expertise in terms of understanding how to structure these campaigns, deploy them, and then quickly track them, right? We're obviously making it sound a lot easier that said than done in terms of, okay, tying out directly, but we've really understood, okay, where the gaps in that tracking lie and also how to fill in those gaps or look at it from a bigger picture in terms of we're starting to group traffic based on just original source, right? And then, okay, if we really wanted to get granular in there, we can go and figure out the actual specific URL, which I think we'll talk about probably a little bit later in terms of how we pick topics, right? And make sure that they're profitable. But yeah, I mean, with that piece of it and tying that out, you know, we need to get a good understanding of, okay, what content are we deploying? Where is it going? And then how are we tracking that traffic in? And then where is it going after that from a sales enablement standpoint, right? So there's a lot of pieces at play. Then you get into the CRM component, right? So there's a long way to go. So that's where the best relationships for us is like, hey, if I can immediately get a look at, you know, this particular line item on the P&L and know that, okay, we increased marketing spend by 8% and that tied me out to top line revenue at 9.5, I'd say, okay, there's a delta there. What else did we do? Maybe that could have affected that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's understanding what you can track and at least baselining that initial information and then having a controlled environment that allows you to see, okay, of these changes that I'm making, am I seeing an uptick or am I not? And I think that's where a lot of times the marketing, you know, gets a bad rap is like, okay, yeah, I did it, but nothing happened. But it's like, well, is that true? Or do you just not see what actually happened? Right. And I think a lot of times it's the latter, or maybe, yeah, you were just set out on the wrong direction from the get-go. And I mean, that's where we're helping, obviously, with the strategy and pieces like that. But either way, and I've been using this more and more, I heard it, can't remember who it was. I need to go back and remember, but marketing is just a fancy word for testing too, right? I think that's where the element of experimentation, statistics, analyzing the data, making the tweak and change validated by the data. And so that's where, hey, it's not just flipping a switch on. You need to understand that this is an investment, and the more time and the more data that you get in, the better you're going to perform, assuming that you're actually giving it the attention that it deserves.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, yeah, people need to think of marketing more as like a long game. You know, even with SEO, you're not going to see likely immediate results. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Always yeah. And I mean, yeah, piggybacking on that too. It's just it's simple compounding interest, right? From a finance model. It's like, okay, yeah, you can go out and spend $100,000 on paid media in month one and generate a boatload of traffic. Great, right? And you're probably going to generate some sales off of that. Like, is that more valuable than investing $5,000 in SEO in month one and getting zero? I'd actually argue that the $5,000 investment is a better investment, because guess what? That $5,000 is going to work in month two and month three and month four and month five. You better have the cash flow to be able to refill that huge bucket, you know, that you started out. And there's a blend, right? There's, okay, short-term positioning, long-term positioning, right? And that obviously needs to align, I think, with the overall business focus and direction.
Agree. So let's go back to what you were just talking about a little bit earlier, you know, related to keyword and topic research and tying that to revenue. We all know as marketers that keyword research is, you know, fundamental for effective SEO. Mm-hmm. How can businesses utilize keyword research to validate their topic selection and ensure they're meeting their audience's needs?
Yeah, great question. So I think the first thing they can do is actually do the keyword research, right? I think so often we see, whether it's the business itself or even the agencies too, to call, and we were doing it at one point as well, right? Here's 10 topics that we think are good enough. Let's write about them. Are you in agreement? Yeah, we agree, and go. Or, you know, if you have a strong-headed client, we want to write about this because this is what our clients and customers are asking us, right? Now, that might be the case, but we need to take a look at, can we actually rank this content based on the existing results that are there, right? So yes, your client may be asking those questions, of course, but if everybody else knows that those are the questions that they're asking, guess what? The competition is going to be so much higher, and we might go and write a piece of content that also costs money and it never sees the light of day. So we spend so much more time in the early stages in the actual keyword research itself. So what does that mean? It's topic ideation is actually one of the most critical components. Don't get me wrong, we need to write the topic. It needs to be high quality. It needs to be research vetted, the whole nine yards there. But it's more important, what topic are we actually going after? And is it worth our time to actually write this content? And so that's where we're validating that through, I'd say, yeah, at this point, our own kind of proprietary algorithmic GPT components in there, right? That we're able to come in, weight certain criteria based on our industry knowledge that, hey, there's content on this page, but guess what? Piece was written 2 years ago, right? That's an immediate flag. Like, let's get some new content up there. Just because it's more relevant, we put ourselves in a better position. Now, I'm obviously making that concept simple there. You have that type of monitoring across all these different factors to where we're basically driving down the unit economic cost of content because we're actually driving traffic to that content that we're spending money to create, versus the inverse has always been the way things have been operated. Is like, okay, you post 10 posts and you close your eyes and hope that one starts to actually generate traffic. We're focusing on how do we ensure that 8 or 9 of these generate some traffic and then can grow and compound as we're doing this over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you bring up such a good point about repurposing content. I feel like a lot of people get kind of stuck in creating just net new content when some of your older content may still be getting a lot of search views and engagement, and people, you know, but they might have like statistics in there from 2012 and, you know, outdated information. So it's important, like you said, to even invest in your older content and making it fresh and new and relevant again.
Yeah. And I think what's been hard on the marketing front and where I think marketing departments have got hit is, going back to our original point, is it's like, there's value here, but it's also deep down, if you don't know where to look, right? Or you don't know how to connect it, right? So, I mean, we've seen that, unfortunately, is like quite a bit of consolidation in these marketing departments, not because I don't think they're doing good work, but it's just that maybe it's misguided and they're not justifying, okay, the value that they're actually driving, right? And so that's a key piece, again, that we're looking at is, you know, how can we tie off revenue ASAP, right? Yeah. Like, no matter what we're doing, right? If we're standing on the street corner waving a sign, I want at least, you know, when someone walks through that door, someone asks them, did you see the sign out front or something like that, right? And track that. So, and it's just, it's evolving. I think part of it as well is it's evolving so quickly. And like your point about repurposing is bandwidth is becoming an issue too, right?
Yeah.
Because you need processes and systems in place to, you know, process as much of this information and then try and get it on as many channels that you need to nowadays, right? So that's where, like, we're always looking at, well, how can I make sure that that value of the content is as high as possible? Because we're going to need a lot of it to test what actually is working and what's not.
Right. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure.
No doubt. So yeah, that's what we're kind of, I think, trying to solve, right, is giving people better understanding of how this content is ranking and why it's ranking. And then knowing that, hey, you're never going to have the full picture because obviously, you know, that's Google, Meta, that's ChatGPT. It's all of them, right? Yeah. It's probably even us to a certain extent, right? So that's where you're going to have to start to understand your own information, make sure it's being tracked, make sure you're working with somebody that understands the importance of that, or at least is working towards that, because again, it's not, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And so with repurposing, yeah, I mean, if you figure a blog that has generated a ton of content, well, make a long form YouTube video about it and read the blog and then cut it up into 15 shorts and boom, go start moving it everywhere you can, right?
Yeah.
So, and then you're just basically, you know, it's just divide by two, divide by two, divide by two. So eventually the value and the cost of that content, we're trying to get it to as low as zero as possible, while obviously maintaining as high of quality at the same time.
Yeah. And that's an easy lift for the writer, you know, just to like break it down into more digestible chunks and, you know, spread it across your social channels. It just extends the lifetime of the content.
Yep. That's right. That's right. So, but yeah, how you're doing that, how you're targeting keywords, right? I mean, that's a piece we've been focused on for years now, to where, yeah, I mean, when we're making those recommendations as a part of our SEO work as well, the technical side, right? Local Google My Business stuff, content creation there as well. You know, let's just make sure we're given our best opportunity to hit on the content. Because when we're doing that at scale, which for a lot of our clients, I mean, we're doing no less than 10 net new content pieces a month, right?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, now you're talking, all right, 120x multiple of pages that can drive traffic to your website. And that traffic has value. It's worth, it's currency. Traffic is currency. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of touched on AI a little bit, and I want to get back into that because it's such a hot topic right now, and it's kind of top of mind for everyone with, you know, AI mode just being introduced recently by Google. We're seeing overviews in the search engine results pages. You know, clients are getting confused as to why they're not getting the same like click-through or engagement as they used to. Given the advancements of AI and people finding their informational needs right in the search results pages.
Right.
So what would be your advice to businesses that are kind of like worried about AI taking away traffic and ultimately maybe even business? Like what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've tried to really simplify it, and I think I always go back to what I've been saying from day one as it relates to SEO, right? Is at the end of the day, you are creating content and information for humans to consume in terms of if the human is the one actually making the buying decision, which I hope, and maybe you could argue in a couple instances, there aren't humans making those buying decisions for sure, right? But you're still generally working through a process with a human, and they were compelled to make a decision to reach out, start the process, buy, purchase, whatever it may be, right? So with AI, it's what's so interesting is you're creating more content than ever. Every single second, we're setting a new record, right? With how much content has been produced, obviously. But the mass and the scale of it is wider and wider and wider because of how much is getting generated automatically, right? And so the issue with that is at the same time, the creativity and the where everything's being sourced from is also as small as it's ever been because of how fast it can actually create this content and replicate it. So that's what happens is, okay, you're seeing stuff where it's like, that's AI. I've seen this somewhere else. There's no actual thought that has gone into this. And what's to say that this is even validated and real? And so I think that's an argument for Google search, doing your own research, going back to that model, right? Reading books even, I mean, to an extent, right? So there's that argument. But then there's also, yes, it's eating share, but Bing still controls a large percentage share of the search market from Google as well. My point being is, okay, we just maybe need to be more nimble and start to, yes, prepare. What does this GPT world look like? Knowing that, yes, I would anticipate that that market share that they're going to take over continues to expand. So we go back to, well, what should I do, Rob? You should still try and create high quality content that's unique and drives value, right? Yeah. It's the same model. What we're seeing with GPT, though, is we're seeing what we're calling multi-turn conversations, right? So instead of going to search with finality, binary 1-0, I'm going to search, get a result. That's the end. The search through GPT is multi-turn, right? So it's not a straight line to my answer. So what am I presented with when I'm asking the question that is just very high level, top of funnel, qualification type question. Does my website have that type of content versus maybe I was only always writing for bottom of the funnel because I knew I could connect that dot directly through search, right? So, but it might still remain the same. You know, a lot of times bottom of the funnel is okay, ultimate guide type content, things like that, showing expertise value. Well, what if you just broke it up now, right? Hey, here's the content and information that is phase one, which is going to be that first turn when they're going through the GPT conversation to get that final point, right? So I think, again, it goes back to repurposing, right? And driving content down or figuring out, hey, if I am going to produce this content, let's make sure we are doing everything we can to squeeze as much value out of it as possible. If you're going to create a reel for Instagram that you might be able to repurpose with Meta ads or YouTube shorts or something along those lines, right? So I think that's really, I think the message with GPT is repurposing content, finding what questions are being asked. You're already doing that. And then creating high quality content still. And I don't know if we want to go that direction, but that's something we're working on too, to where we're still using AI for at least some raw content output, but we're still putting human hands, brand character, brand awareness, brand expertise based on, you know, their people interacting with other people in a case study. You know, I think that kind of content is becoming more and more valuable now too, right? Is telling that story and bringing back and keeping that human element in terms of how we sell, because I still believe we're selling to humans.
I agree with that completely. I feel like, you know, consumers are getting smarter these days and they can sniff out AI generated content now, because like you said, it all looks and sounds the same. There's no uniqueness to it. There's a lot of M dashes, which I love the M dash, but it's just everywhere. It's getting really easy to discern what's AI and what's not. So I totally agree with injecting your brand tone and voice.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you go back to early days of just the internet in general, right? That's always been the challenge of online. What's real and what's not.
Yeah. Like,
so yeah, AI can be built up as this scary taking over the world, everything, right? But I think, no, it's embrace it head on. You're going to be able to pivot, outmaneuver it, find gaps that it can't find from experiences that you have to have doing whatever it may be that it is you're doing, right? Because you can't just plug in a conversation. Now, you probably can to summarize the conversation, right? But okay, a CFO and a CEO, hey, here's what we see. Boom. Here's the moves we're going to make. Okay. Now we actually need to put that into practice from an operational human standpoint to get the work done. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Agree. You know, for businesses that are feeling overwhelmed by, you know, rapid changes in digital marketing, like AI and, you know, everything else we've been speaking to today, what initial steps would you suggest they take to adapt and thrive in this like ever evolving landscape?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, marketing, unfortunately, I think it's getting better now because marketing is getting tougher and tougher and tougher. And it's like, these are a lot of the problems that we're trying to solve. But I think it's like finding someone that, you know, you can vet, that you trust, that checks the boxes, right? That someone else can vouch for, that has been doing, you know, I think time as well, right? Learning and understanding and showing that they can adapt. Because that's the thing too. It's like, if I can't adapt, you know, 6 months from now, then we're going to be behind the eight ball too. That's what we're trying to keep up with in terms of how all those things change with search and the technology that's coming online, right? And then I think the second piece is, and I've said this early on too, is just understanding that marketing is an investment in your business. It's not an expense line item, right? Yeah. And I mean, I can't stress that enough. And I know that always is like, yeah, of course, the sales marketing guy is going to say that, right? But like, you need to give it time, right? Do your homework, make the best decision you can, talk to the people or get the references, whatever you need to be. But you gotta see it out, right? The amount of businesses that I see after 30 days that are like, this isn't working, pull the plug, restart. It's like, that's not how it works in any regard, right? So I think you need to see it through. It's an investment. Think about that compounding return, right? And then if it's $1,000, $500, $25,000, commit, stick to it, right? Now, be vigilant, right? Make sure who you're working with is doing what they're saying. They're talking about results. They're able to show results and push. That's where I think our industry gets a bad rap, right? Is you get, you know, that shade that gets covered with, okay, what is that team actually doing for us? So make sure you're working with a team that's pushing towards tying out that, hey, we're bringing value in some way, shape, or form. And it might just be creative, right? Hey, go find a firm that can help you write blog posts, that can help you create video content, you know, just that bandwidth piece that's hard to get. And then you give them the ideas or at least the direction, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's so important to find a good partner, you know, like Flying V Group, or even looking at, you know, different tools and technology that's available to you that you don't have on hand. Like Unmiss has a bunch of SEO tools to help optimize sites. So it's kind of like a blend of both, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, we've been, like I said, with Anatoly and using and testing Unmiss, right? And getting insights and data out of there. So yeah, definitely an awesome tool. And then yeah, I mean, you're going to have to put in the time to educate yourself, right? Because even to this day, yes, it's getting better, but with like entry level new hires, like digital's still not as much of a focus as it needs to be, right? Yeah. So there's not just all these people that know how Google Ads work growing on trees or knowing how technical SEO, because the last generation's just been sold, hey, just let AI do it. You don't even need to learn how to do it. Look how easy it is to build a website. And that's the furthest thing from it's insanity, actually. Right.
It really is.
And so you're going to have someone on your team too, or you're also investing in a team. What knowledge are they bringing to the table? Right. Like, am I just jumping on a call with a guy and he's just saying, yep, we'll make that change. Yep. We'll make that change. Yep. We'll make that change. And then all of a sudden, wait, you're doing all of the work, or are you working with a team that's coming to the table? And this is what I push our team on. Hey, here's what we've seen. Here's why, here's what the plan is, and here's our recommendation. Now, obviously, we're going to be open to having conversations, and, you know, it depends on the clients, you know, even their abilities, right, and understanding of how this stuff works. And then we'll figure out, okay, what's that plan? But we got to be moving every day. Otherwise, we're falling behind in this space. It's just, and that's why you have to continuously invest. Otherwise, you're going to be the same size. Your dollar is getting worth less and less and less and less every single day. And you have to start scaling up and creating, you know, this consistent, more predictable revenue stream, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks, Rob. You've really shared a lot of enlightening information today. And I think this has been such a great conversation. I know we got some messages in the chat, so I think people really enjoyed everything they've listened to today. If our listeners are interested in connecting with you or learning more about Flying V Group, what's the best way they could get in touch with you?
Yeah, LinkedIn for me, Rob Farian, right? Just my name and connecting there, following, shoot me a message. Let me know you saw me here. Pretty liberal with connecting, email address, whatever it may be. Always looking to grow network and figure out how we can win together and win with the right people. I think that for me is a big thing, is we're all in this together, right? Like whether it's other agencies, whether it's our clients, like we all need to win. If we all win, then that's a good thing, right? So I think it's that sharing information, collaboration, flyingvgroup.com, you know, head to the website, sign up for our email newsletter. We send that out regularly. Our team's pretty active too, pretty easy to get in touch. Sean on the SEO front, Sean Fulford, he's the best of the best I've ever seen. You know, he's active in moderation groups and online LinkedIn stuff too. So, and yeah, pretty much probably anywhere online, just Flying V Group, my name, probably find us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Rob, for joining us and sharing your expertise. For our listeners, if you found this discussion valuable, don't forget to subscribe to the Unmiss podcast and leave a review. And if you're looking to enhance your digital strategy, check out Unmiss's free website audit tool. It's really quick and easy to identify opportunities and stay ahead in the ever-evolving marketing landscape. And also check out Flying V Group. They're great partners. So this has been the Unmiss podcast. And we'll see you all next time.